Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
The crowd goes wild with delirious joy as Diane is throwing things at me. This is the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Unger.
I'm sure you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Joining me, as always, is the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
He's completely lost his mind.
And the incredible Ross Allen Skorzewski.
It's so beautiful.
Engineering the show, as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire and part-time serial killer, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and making sure that we can be heard and seen all across the world via the World Wide Web. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. Actually, new email, ask. Actually, both will work.
Yep, they'll still work.
ask@markunger.com, A-S-K. @markunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send an email about anything and remain totally anonymous. In exchange, we are brutally honest. There are no filters. There are no filters concerning your feelings or sensitivities in any way, shape, or form. That's the premise of the show. It is what makes this show very different from other relationship shows. It's also what makes the show very funny compared to other relationship shows. But if you have uber sensitivities, you know, oh, you got to talk to me the right way, then don't email us, okay? The good news, we don't know who you are. This is done in a complete vacuum. But there are no filters. We would never talk to you this way in person because you don't do that to people. When you talk, you might think it.
Oh, sure.
But you think you've got to look at who you're talking to, understand yes. them, feel their response, what's the best way to approach them, blah, blah, blah. In this show, that's completely
We don't vacuum. Temper anything. We don't moderate anything.
Yeah. Now, most other shows do.
Yes.
Because what they do is they assume I'm looking right at this mm-hmm. person. They assume that it's a very sensitive person. Mm-hmm. They're very gentle in their approach. Fine. There's a gazillion shows like that. Mm-hmm. Boo-hoo, boredom, yawn. Somebody try and keep me awake. That's not what we do on this show. No filters. Just a brutal response. Ah, right back at you. So, anyway, that's how it works.
Okay.
What you got today?
This is a little story that I found. It was out of some college newspaper from some university in Connecticut. The title caught my eye. It was called Spring Break Sexpectations.
Sexpectations.
Sexpectations. There's expectations yes. and there's sexpectations.
So apparently they were trying to talk to the spring break crowd prior to spring break about their sexual behavior on spring break. It says sex with a stranger is a common goal associated with spring break across college campuses yes. nationwide.
It's a Absolutely. Goal? Yes.
It's a goal.
To have Absolutely. Sex with yes. a stranger.
Yes. Yes.
Good Lord.
They say 9% of men and 2% of women agree to have sex with someone new during spring break.
Only 2% of women.
Yes, more men.
Oh, that's well. I thought it'd be a lot worse than that.
Spring break is sexually driven in nature, especially because the media promotes it
wait,
in
wait,
this
wait,
way.
Wait. If it's only 2% of women who are going out there getting laid to guys that they don't know, why do they up it? You would think that everybody does this.
They make it seem like everybody does this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you watch MTV mm-hmm. or Spring Break or any of these things. Everybody
like,
does it. Everybody
mm-hmm.
does. This is normal. You know why they do this? It's because they want everybody to do it. They want
yes.
everybody to behave in these destructive yeah. patterns.
That's what they say. Because the media promotes it in this way, people have the perception that they have to be sexually active on spring break. So they're spoon feeding them the trash and making them
so
think.
So that more and more people will likely go out and do this.
Yep. They say that it's mass peer pressure in a mass peer pressure environment when you're like down at Daytona and all of that, especially because everyone's half naked and most likely intoxicated. The combination of media pressure, peer pressure, and alcohol consumption leads to bad judgment.
But even still, I'm amazed it's only 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody shocks
but
me.
But they make it seem like,
I thought
like,
it was like through the roof. I figured, you know, 75%
well, that was
of these-
according to this one survey from the University of Michigan anyway, that they got that number from.
Yeah, but how wrong could they be?
Well, what is
I
it?
I mean, if it's 75%, you're not going to get
points,
yeah, you're
still
going
to be under 10%. But they do make it seem like that's
something.
What everybody
that's
does.
That's what I thought they were all doing down there.
Yep. Well, maybe everybody, maybe that whole 5% is all of the kids across the country that are actually in Daytona. Because why would you let your kids go?
You know, that's a possibility. It could be a higher percent at that particular party.
Yeah. Like everybody in Daytona is doing this, but that's not
if all the 5%
of the-
get together, that's 100% of the people there. Yeah. But it's not in general.
And I wonder how many of them actually who are asked this question, you know, who go down there with this purpose in mind, but then those who go down there that get intoxicated, that didn't have this in mind, but it just happened.
Well, especially when it's going on all around you and there's all this alcohol and
but
this flesh.
But they would say, that's not why I went down there. I didn't have any intentions of going down there to
I think
to,
that happens sometimes.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it happens quite a bit, especially with the amount of consumption of alcohol and the way that they do dance. And I'm going.
I would never allow my children to go to spring break in a place like that. They just would not be going.
Yeah, and what parent does this? These aren't even high school kids.
I am shocked that sometimes high school kids will go down for spring break.
How stupid are you as a parent?
Correct, with their friends.
Unchaperoned as a high schooler.
These parents should be arrested and thrown in stocks.
Say, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
People hurl garbage and feces at their faces all day long.
I don't think that
the parents. I mean, how stupid are you to let your kid just go on spring break?
To tell you the truth, I would not let my underage children go if they told me they were going to what's the Holy Land, the Holy Land theme park. I wouldn't let them go unchaperoned.
I wouldn't
underage,
either.
Even if they said they were going there.
Yeah, I'm going to Bible camp. Not unchaperoned, you're not.
No,
right?
No.
That's a great point.
We're going to do a religious pilgrimage for spring break. Not without adults, you're not.
Yeah.
No.
So how stupid are these parents?
Pretty stupid.
Especially to an environment where they know they're going to get. But see, some of these parents, they're just sickles themselves. They have no moral compass. Yeah. They want their kids to get laid.
Yep. Well, that's what they did, so they think that that's the norm.
And it's great fun. Oh, it's great. Oh, I have a good time. Just make sure you take birth control. Ah, sad.
Okay, starting off, this is not a question, but a comment. She said, my best friend is a guy, he's not a Christian, this is a girl writing, who had a recent experience that I think Mark would find interesting because of the sheer number of emails y'all get about men masturbating and its consequences. She said, my friend and I were talking very candidly about sex. He's 23 and he's had sex with 3 girls. He's been watching porn and masturbating since he was in the 6th grade.
Wow.
When he was with the last girl, he had difficulties keeping it up.
Thank you very much. Is this not what I have been saying forever?
Yes.
Everybody acts like it's no big deal. Oh, it's good for your health. I'm telling you, it ruins these guys. A lot of them, they cannot function normally with women because they're more conditioned to the feeling from their hand than a woman's body. They're trading in the vagina for their hand.
Yep.
How sick is this? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. This is their plan. All right, go on.
And he even said to her, maybe I should quit masturbating for a while. He even realized that maybe he should.
Yeah, and here's a fundamentally immoral guy who just wants to quit masturbating so he can screw women better. But even he has more sense.
Yes. Then I mentioned to him that he should probably quit watching the porn. I challenged him to see how long he could go without porn and masturbation. His first try, he made it 2 weeks, and he fell off the bandwagon. I encouraged him to try again. It's been a struggle for him. It's kind of an on-again, off-again thing, and he'll do well for a few weeks. But I just thought that this was something the young guys and even girls who are masturbating should know, that there are consequences to chronic masturbation even early in life.
Yeah, and here's a real kicker. If the guy would get a life, he's 23.
Mm-hmm.
Find a girl. Marry the girl.
Apparently he's just having sex with 3 of them.
You can have sex every day at 23. Mm-hmm. There's no need to masturbate. There's no need to do these behaviors. There's no need for porn.
Think about that.
But what we do in the Christian community is we tell kids not to have sex and not to look at porn, not masturbate, but then don't get married till you're almost 30. We create the very
He's not a Christian.
I'm just saying, but in the church, this is what we do.
Oh, yeah.
We create the environment where our kids are guaranteed to fail sexually, and we're too stupid to see it.
17 years.
If he started in sixth grade.
Well, So sixth grade puts him at what age again? That is about what?
Sixth grade is about 12.
12 years old.
Wow, still 11 stinking years he's been masturbating.
Looking at porn and masturbating. And a lot of these guys do it several times a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he can't get it up now with a real woman. Mm-hmm. And he can't function. And
is she interested in him?
They're just friends.
Now stop and think about it. This guy's going to marry some girl, and he will not stop. I'm telling you, I have this all the time. Women telling me, young women, gorgeous, drop dead, beautiful bods. Man, I'm telling you, these are young, sexy women married to these guys, and they come to my conferences, and they'll say, well, he's standing right there. And she'll point at him and say, he won't have sex with me.
It's just easier for him to go whack off.
That's what he said. That's what he said. I'd just rather do it myself.
It takes time, attention. He has to bother with her.
You'd rather do it yourself. But yeah, if you've been conditioning yourself to this behavior since the time you were 12 years old.
And quite obviously, sex for those guys is not about doing anything for her. It's just about their release.
It's all about them.
It's about, I get my rocks off. And
they have no idea what it means to really be a lover to a woman and connect with that woman.
Nor do they care.
They don't even care. That's why, rather than mess with all that, let me just masturbate. Wow, very, very
interesting
sad
that she's having this conversation with him, though.
You have to be pretty close friends with a guy, I guess, in order to have that to kind of a conversation and talk about that. But she says that they have a pretty open discussion, open friendship.
Apparently.
I guess.
I'd be like, get some guy friends.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's take a break after that depressing note. You parents, man, don't be so stupid. I know Christian moms who come to me in conferences. Mm-hmm. Don't I have to tell my... They literally encourage their sons to masturbate. So deceived and stupid are these women. Moms. Mark, did you masturbate today? Good Lord, who
Make
even
sure
has...
you took care of yourself this
who
morning,
even
honey?
Has that conversation with their kids? Only people who have are completely stupid.
Mm-hmm. Where were the parent controls?
The parental controls?
Parental controls, you know. I mean, the internet and pornography since in sixth grade.
Well, he's not a Christian, so maybe he has a dad who had it in the house. Maybe he was using
his
dad's stash.
I'm telling you, Christians do this.
I know.
Encourage their kids to do this. Good Lord. All right, we'll be back with more right after this.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is The Mark Gunger Show on MarkGunger.com.
Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America are pleased to present this much-anticipated DVD set, Singles and Stinking Thinking, A Clear Path to Marriage. This four-disc set gives practical and straightforward advice that singles need to hear when it comes to dating and marriage and making the right decision. Taught from a definite Christian worldview, Mark challenges the over-spiritualized, over-romanticized expectations that fill the heads of so many singles. More than 4 hours of teaching, this series includes sessions on finding a spouse, the do's and don'ts of dating, and sex makes you stupid, and so much more. This DVD is for all singles from age 16 to 90 with an eye toward marriage. Parents, if you are looking for a resource that is packed full of biblical wisdom to help instruct your son and daughter on a path towards a successful married future, this is the DVD set for you. Order your copy now at laughyourway.com or call 1-866-525-2844. That's laughyourway.com. We know you like listening to The Mark Gunger Show, but if you also enjoy listening to other programs like Family Life, Focus on the Family, or The Debbie Chavez Show, you should check out Zubio's personalized listening software. Zubio organizes your favorite shows into personalized listening channels, which you can listen to on your computer, MP3 player, or smartphone. Listening to your channel couldn't be any simpler. Just touch Play All, and the day's best shows play one after another. Perfect for listening while driving, working, or exercising. It's the easiest way to listen to multiple shows. Create your own personalized listening channel by going to www.zubio.com. That's Zubeo.com. I could spend my life in this sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment forever. Every moment spent with you is a moment I treasure. Don't wanna close my eyes.
You're not gonna study. If I didn't have bills, I'd have that money.
Really?
Yes. Studies have shown. University studies have shown. If you didn't have to pay for bills, you'd have a lot more money.
Well, if you gave up sex for 6 months, maybe someone would pay him for a month like the other day.
Yeah, pay him. Oh, for the... No, that was just 1 month.
Yeah, pay bills for 1 month, give up sex for six.
Whatever.
How'd you like that trade-off?
Oh, give me all the bills in the world.
How many months would you give up sex for a year's worth of bills then? Wow, that's a long time. 6 years?
6 years.
Now, if you would ask me that, if you would tell me that you would take care of all my debt for me to go without sex for a month, heartbeat, absolutely.
No, it was without sex for 6 months.
No.
Keep my debt. I'll keep my debt. Okay.
All right.
This email comes, greetings from Poland.
Yes!
We love Poland. Ross is
Poland.
Poland!
This is from a gal. She says, your show has changed my life. I'm a Catholic, and your show turned me into a more conservative one. Even though staying within our faith here, I am looking into ordering your conferences, but it's difficult. Hey, she wants to know, do you consider doing materials converted for European frameworks?
What does
apparently
that mean?
The DVDs and stuff don't play in Europe. Is that true? Or aren't they supposed to be universal format?
We have some agreements with people in certain places.
I think DVDs play in anywhere, don't they now?
Well,
most players will play anything.
I
don't know. Dear, I have no idea, dear. Never thought about
that. That was not region free, Timmy says, so they should work.
Yeah, they should work. Any DVD should work.
Yes.
Because it'll output it differently there, right? I'll put it in PAL over here. I'll put it in NTSC.
So it
should
work. In
other parts of the country, it's, what's the other one? PAL, NTSC, and...
I have no idea. You're speaking foreign language to me. So they should work.
Any DVD should play in your DVD player, and you should see it in Poland or anywhere else.
Okay. Yes. That's not really her question. Her real question is, and she said swirly included if need be, so she listened long enough to get that.
How does she speak English so well?
And funny, at the end she said that she was hoping that her English was no barrier, and she wrote it really well. There was no problem with it, but anyhow.
The people in Europe, they're so good at languages.
See, mm-hmm. Polish, we are smarter than they make us out to be.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, they're... in people in our country, hardly anybody speaks more than one language.
Oh, that's right.
In Europe, many people speak three or four languages.
They're
fluently,
multilingual.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. So,
she says, I've been dating an American guy for over 20 months, so almost 2 years.
Oh, that'll help her learn English too.
Yeah. She said, we are both around 26 years old, living in Poland, had sex for some time, but stopped it.
Good for you.
As I did not want to carry on the playing house madness, though they never lived together. He is not really a religious person, though quite knowledgeable about church. I don't know what that means. We both want to get married and have kids. For the last couple of months, he's been struggling with a delayed culture shock, I guess, from coming to Poland from America.
And why is he there?
I'm not sure. I don't think that she explained that. He's there anyway, they met. But he's having problems with this delayed culture shock, and he's gotten addicted to steroids. He's been mixing it with alcohol or painkillers, and it's altered his moods and behavior.
Why?
I didn't ask all of that.
You're supposed to ask all these pertinent questions.
I don't think that it matters. I thought it was irrelevant why he was there and why he's taking this.
Okay.
That's not the problem.
We're curious. Okay, go ahead.
You're just curious.
Curiosity
killed the cat,
muscle
boys.
Builder.
All right.
He started displaying anger issues and felt homesick. I asked him to go into counseling to make peace with his troubled mind, addictions, and family problems. Apparently, he has quite some past history. As he continued the hurtful behavior towards me, I broke up with him, and he went back stateside. 2 weeks later, he says he is in therapy in the U.S., figuring out his problems and wants to start anew in Poland while continuing therapy, I guess, back in Poland now. He asked for my forgiveness to eventually get back with me, too. I do love him and know it all needs time. As you said, there is no right person but the right thing to do. So my question is, what would be the right thing to do here?
Dump his butt.
Run.
Yes.
Move. Dear, when you need counseling before you get married, you're a disaster waiting to happen.
Yes.
Listen to me. All you single people who seem to have the intelligence of a squirrel. Although I think some squirrels are smarter than these people. Now she's not completely stupid because obviously she speaks more of a language, and you know, but she apparently relational intelligence of about a June bug. Okay, she has the relational intelligence. All you single people out there who have the relational intelligence of a June bug, listen to me. When you are dating someone and you're engaged to someone, and you all that whole period should be a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. This should be virtually problem free.
Right.
Then you marry them, and then you'll start to have problems, but then you work through it. When just before you even get to the altar for marriage, you have serious problems, that's when you get away from the people. But I love him. I know, sweetheart, but what are you want to step into hell? You're going to, would you literally go to hell for him? And some people would be. They're that stupid, I guess. You're getting ready to, you're just talking about the rest of your life. And then your children are going to be screwed up, and they're going to have a dad who will beat them or hate them or abandon them. And could you have a brain bigger than a June bug? Okay? When you're dating someone and you're engaged with someone, and you're, this should be virtually problem-free. Now, there's little things that'll pop up, which are just hints of the problems you're going to have.
Yes. But if it's addictions and rage issues and steroids,
oh my gosh, you got all these problems. And you know, I've had people. You know, do you do counseling for singles? Hail no, H-A-I-L. Hail no.
Well, some people need personal counseling. They need to deal with their issues.
But they're asking, would you counsel my fiance in me?
Oh yes. No, not that.
No. Even if I could, and I probably could help them. No.
You need to run.
I would not help you if you paid me. Well, actually, if you paid me $1 million, I probably would. Actually, a few hundred grand, probably get me too.
Well, you should say yes. You should say, sure, I'll counsel you. And then when they come in and sit down, say, here's my counsel.
Get away from each other, yes.
Run. Get away from one another.
When you need counseling now, my dear Polish girl. Are you crazy? You are headed for a disaster. Mm-hmm. Because when you get married, all the problems that you had will now expand.
Yes. Yeah.
That's why the normal problems should be little bumps, little bleeds. But pay attention to those bumps, even the bumps, because that's the stuff that's going to get expanded when you get married and you have to deal with.
Tell him to
stay
stateside.
But that's normal. But when you're talking gigantic mountains, and then you get married and then that explodes. See, people think, well, no, I'm seeing the mountains. I'm seeing the worst of it now. It won't get worse after I get married. No, it always gets worse.
Leave him.
Get away from him.
And well, she is away from him.
And
he's stateside.
Tell him to stay stateside.
And get his steroid sucking butt.
Which is probably where the rage came from. Because that's roid rage.
You
is what
don't
they call
want
that.
To know anything about steroid rage. It's terrible.
You need to have a bigger brain than a June bug. Now, she's Polish. I don't know if she knows what a June bug is. It's a small bug. Mm-hmm. Pick any bug, even a Polish bug. Take your Take your favorite Polish bug and think, I need a bigger brain than what is in that little bug's head. Mm-hmm. Okay, because right now, the way you're acting, you have a smaller brain than a June bug's brain, which I think we will all admit is a fairly small brain.
Fairly small.
This is obvious, right? Fairly small brain.
Yes.
Do not marry this boy. Don't even talk to him anymore. Just go cold. Get away from him.
Here's this thing that I see and hear of all the time. Somebody has a problem, addiction, drugs, blah, 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 whatever it is. And these women especially, because that's women, they think that it's their duty and obligation to help him and to get him clean and to get him through the counseling and the therapy. Because I love him, I need to do this, even when they're dating. And I don't think they have the obligation to do that. He's not your problem to fix. I would say you go get fixed, get yourself ready, and when you're clean and sober and whatever for a year, then come see me and I'll think about it. I wouldn't stick around to mess with that. I just wouldn't.
I don't think you should. I think you should move on. You girls that are dating these guys that are complete disasters,
They think they can fix them.
Well, the problem, now she's still quit having sex with this guy. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. When you do have sex with someone, there is such a bonding that takes, particularly for women. Yep. I think women are more susceptible to it than men.
Oh, yeah.
There's such a bonding thing. Because you had, that's, and listen to me, don't screw any more guys, okay? Because you could take a psycho and then have sex with him, and now you're going to feel connected to the psycho. That's what these women don't understand. Yeah. When you lay with these men, you bond to them. And now you feel compelled to want to stay with them, even though they are disasters. Mm-hmm. Do not have any more sex with any man that you're dating. Get to know him for who he is. You fall in love with him. Because here's the thing. If she wasn't having sex with this guy, and then she sees it, she would have jumped him already anyway.
Yeah.
Normal women who are not having sex, and they get away from me.
You just can't get away from it once you've had that
experience. Once you start getting sexually, you bond to them.
It's difficult to break away.
That's what you single girls, listen to me. Get a brain bigger than a June bug. Do not have sex with these boys. Because when you have sex with them, you will bond to them. Even if they're psycho serial killers. Even if they're anger-driven people. Even if they selfish, narcissistic,
addicted to everything,
addicted drug, you will be bonded to them. And here's a girl who's still bonded to some guy who's not even here anymore.
Yep.
She still feels obligated to be with this guy, even though he's a steroid sucking rageaholic, psycho crazy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were having sexual with him. Well, we stopped. I know, but see, that's why you don't do it in the first place. It's hard to break the connection. Most men could have sex with a different woman every other day, and it doesn't happen to them.
Because they're not wired with that chemical bonding.
But the women are. It's you women who should be setting the standard and say, man, we can't do this. Why do you think so many millions of women all over the world right now are with guys who they should know better? One reason, they're having sex with them. But here's the thing. You don't have sex with them, you dump them right away.
Because you have a clue and you can see
it. You can see it.
And you don't have this emotional enmeshment, and you're not all entangled with them, and you can walk away. You can't once you've had sex, and you're in way over your head.
Sad.
It's very sad.
All right. Well, God bless her for listening.
From Poland.
And hey, we got a lot of people in Poland. Yeah. How do they find out about us?
The YouTube video, usually. The Tale of Two Brains YouTube thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I love it.
Yep. But if their dots showed up on the map, we could see them.
Yeah, back to the dots on the map. I wonder if we fixed that yet. Oh my gosh. Eventually we'll get everything fixed and working around here. Man, talk about slower than
glacial pace.
Glacial. We're glacially moving forward. But it is happening. It is finally happening. At least we're streaming now.
Yeah.
At least I have pictures somewhere on my wall now. That only took a year and a half.
Yeah.
We're something else, aren't we? All right, we will be back with more of your emails. If you have any questions you'd like us to take a shot at, and you're not afraid of us, just send it to ask@markgunger.com.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com. Butt-Kicking Woman's Conference is back with a newly released DVD set from the second year of the conference with all new hard-hitting speakers, Lakeeta Garth, Diane Brierley, comedian Carrie Pomeroy, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Mark Gunger himself.
But I do not get it today. I mean, oral sex has become the goodnight kiss on the first date today. Now, in my ancient mind, I'm not sure how one negotiates that transaction. I had a really good time tonight. Yeah. And before you go,
you get over 7 hours of content that will change your life and make you a stronger butt-kicking woman. Order your DVD today at laughyourway.com or call 1-866-525-2844. That's laughyourway.com.
Babies, I'll keep sending
making
you
them. Then.
I'll keep sending you money.
That might be an incentive for her to keep doing it.
See, there you go.
I'm gonna tell her today, baby. Let's make some babies. Your dad promised us lots of money. It's kind of like what your mother did.
Something like that. Yeah.
Diamonds.
Diamonds.
I will give you diamonds if you have, not a boy though.
It's gotta be a girl.
It's gotta be a girl.
No, I'll take any. Either one.
Seriously.
My mother's something else. All right.
This email comes from the 10-year-old girl who is your biggest fan. Do you remember her?
Yes.
Okay, this is her writing.
She's writing back.
She says, hello to Mark, Diane, and the wonderfully charming Ross.
Thank you. Oh, sure. You're flirting with Ross.
I think she's crushing on you, Ross.
I don't have anybody crushing on me. I'm too old to crush on.
You all have your crushes.
She has a problem.
It's like, I'm on TBN. And Lori says, you know the one thing about Mark? He reminds me of my dad.
Yeah, that makes you feel really good.
Oh! Yeah, I was going to say something, but I didn't. I thought, Dad, that's just what a guy wants to hear.
We have a Clay Matthews crush. We have an Angelina Jolie crush. Let her have a Ross crush.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, she says, my problem is I have a teacher who is very confusing. For example, she will say, everyone, it's time to read if everything is done. And I'll be done with everything, so I'll read. Then she would come and say in a mean tone, why are you reading? Nobody else is to stop. So I don't know what to do.
Why are you bipolar?
Why are you, yeah. Also, she changes her mood every week. One week she'll be nice, the other mean. How should I deal with my teacher? I've tried everything my mom has told me and everything my dad has told me, but it doesn't work. So I would like your insight, please. So how does your favorite 10-year-old youngest fan deal with her apparently bipolar teacher? No, I don't know if she's bipolar.
Just roll. What are you going to do?
You just have to be nice.
Just be nice. And just keep thinking to yourself, when I grow up, I don't want to be crazy like this person.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do? People are weird.
People can be very moody. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one day you can say something to them and they're fine with it. The next day you can say something very similar and they take your head off.
Who would that be?
I'm just saying, in general.
I've never been around someone
in
like that.
In general. You have not. Then you're very fortunate, Ross, that you have not had
until I started working on this show.
Come on, you're such a brat.
Do you know the number of births that occur in India each year is higher than the entire population of Australia?
Just the new births every year. Wow.
Well, they're going to have another baby.
That's pretty good, Ross.
At least they have babies.
Yes. This is true.
That's why I'm telling you, just do the math. Western culture is going to disappear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are you checking your news on iTunes?
I get this weird text thing of, I don't know where it comes from, just weirdo statements that all of a sudden pop
like
up.
Like headlines or something?
Yeah, for
Factoids?
Example. Guess what?
What?
If you keep a goldfish in the dark room, it will turn white.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I knew that.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, why
put yourself in a dark room.
I don't know who's...
You will turn
who studies
whiter.
It? Why?
But I got this weird text thing. They sent me the most bizarre...
And there's nothing on it that says to disable or reply. Usually they have that at the bottom so that you stop getting them if you don't want it. There's an opt-out or something. Do you see that on there? Opt-out.
Wait, I got it. Yeah, I must have somehow... something opted me in or something.
You got signed up for something.
$9.99 a month.
What?
For 3 messages a week.
And what?
Well done.
You better opt out of that.
Well, how did I even get that in the first place?
Oh, who knows?
Do you know what's interesting?
Check it out. Guess what? The reason why flamingos are pink is because they eat shrimp.
Yep. because
guess
they
what?
Don't get a shrimp.
The placement
more
of
white.
A donkey's eyes on his head enables it to see all four of its feet at all times.
Who cares?
I've been getting these things for weeks.
Yeah,
something
at
got me.
$9.99 a month.
You know what?
I'm paying for that. Why would I pay for that?
$9.99 a month. I'll give you factoids.
My wife completed an online. What do you call those?
Survey.
Like, survey, and then this is months later. We had found out that on our phone bill that there were like three or four additional charges that were added on, but they all came from this online survey that we never signed up for anything.
And then you got charged for it.
Yes. It says I should just text stop to stop. Okay, I just...
Well, you did.
I just said stop.
Well, do they have your credit card information? Obviously.
Well, how do they get that?
Did you give it to them?
No, no, they don't. They can bill through the phone.
Oh, bill through the phone. Okay, so they just charge on your phone for it.
It gets tacked on.
Well, it's probably when you're doing all your little fun app things, boys, and making...
Don't say boys.
Zombie faces and this and that, and you sign up for things. You don't know what you're signing up for.
And your face did make a wonderful zombie face.
That's just not even funny.
Anyway. All right.
Okay, this is a parenting question. I recently heard you give parenting advice and love it so much. I have a question of my own. My husband and I have four kids that have all been adopted through the foster care system.
Well, God bless you.
They are amazing. However, at times each one drives me a little batty in their own way. Even if they were your own biological children.
The same thing would happen.
But my six-year-old drives me to the brink of insanity. He is a really funny kid. For example, and this is hilarious, mind you. When we are at the auto repair shop after having a nice conversation with the owner looks at my son and says, "What's your name?" My son doesn't respond. I prompt him, saying, "It's polite in the presence of your mom to answer adults when they talk to you." He responds, "I think people should guess my name." Before I could respond, the auto shop owner says, "All right, from now on, whenever you're here, I'll call you Billy." To which my son responded, "Okay, Nancy."
That's awesome. How old is he again?
Six.
That's great.
I think that's hilarious. She says he is very clever, but also very stubborn. He will never directly obey anything I say. If I tell him to sit on the ground, he will sit in a box. If I tell him to put on his shoes, he puts them on his hands. If I insist he obeys me directly and correctly, he screams, yells, and cries. He also has more serious defiance. He hates opening doors, and if he has to, he will scream for about a half an hour before doing so. If he begins to lag behind me, he insists that I wait until he slowly walks to catch up with me. If I tell him to run and catch up and continue walking, he will scream, yell, and completely unwind. Often, his cleverness makes him appear to be, for lack of a better phrase, a smartass. Now, my friends are big believers in this whole first-time obedience thing. This would never work with him. Neither did spanking. He would get a spanking and unleash a fury of fists and kicks at me and melt down that made the consequence not worth the outcome. I adopted him when he was two. He has lived in at least five foster care homes before she got him at the age of two. Was horribly neglected. He has grown each year and is becoming more and more manageable. He no longer hits, spits, bites, or gets kicked out of Sunday school recently.
Progress.
Consequences of going to bed early and losing media have been effective in addressing the disobedience.
There you go.
After learning about your flag page country, I'm sure he is control country, but I also think that he is fun. My question is, do I worry about his lack of ability to obey me correctly the first time? Or to his personality, do I allow him room for creativity? I feel like I'm letting him down by not demanding obedience the first time, but I feel like it really stresses him out when I do.
So explain the first-time obedience concept.
First-time obedience is when you say, "Johnny, put your shoes on." Johnny hits the floor, puts his shoes on, doesn't say anything, and does it immediately.
Okay.
Without questioning, without stopping. And if they don't, there's consequences.
All right.
That's first-time obedience.
So what do you think of that?
I hate first-time obedience. I think it's a bunch of crap. And I took a parenting class many years ago that taught that.
Uh-huh. I don't mind the concept, but I don't think it should always have to be that way. I don't think, you know, like if a child constantly has to be asked to do something and you're constant, sometimes even with my son, I'm not overly, you know, dominant with this concept, but sometimes asking him 6-7 times to do something,
I don't
gets
think
annoying.
That you should have to ask
and
6 or 7
Kian,
times.
Come on, dude. How many times do I have to ask you? Once. I said, okay then. Mm-hmm. But then I'm not going to sit there and, you know, pound him over the head with it. But, I mean, obedience, you should respond.
But he, in this situation, first-time obedience would just absolutely not work when he's got the issues that he has.
Five different environments that he's had to adapt to. Neglected, abused, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The poor little dude. He's using his sense of humor, I would imagine, as a coping mechanism. Yes. And it's fabulous. I would just laugh my head off. I mean, I can see from her perspective how it just gets so annoying. But I just thought it was hilarious when I read that. He was very funny.
Okay, Nancy. Yeah, you know, don't let other people stick their stuff in your brain, you know. I don't know what to say. I mean, every kid is different.
Yeah. And you can parent for what works for your kids, and it might not be what the neighbors across the street do with their kids, and don't let them look down their nose at you.
Yeah, I think when you try to do a one-size-fit-all, let me give you a personal experience with this. My daughter, married to my son-in-law here, as a child, was the strongest-willed child. I've ever seen.
Can't imagine that.
She's a fairly strong-willed adult, let's be honest.
Oh yeah, she's still that. But I mean as a kid, it was just weird strong-willed.
Not the compliant.
Now there's a positive side to this. Mm-hmm. Strong-willed black and white people. Everything's just one way or the other. If you put your values into them, we'll live those values out and nobody can talk them out of it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. My daughter was not screwing guys in high school, and she's gorgeous. All right, wasn't taking drugs, wasn't out partying. Was it? Why? Because we got, and she didn't need us. I mean, we had more time chasing Phil around, making sure he wasn't doing something wrong. Never had to worry about Leslie. Why? Because she got the values, and nobody could talk her. I mean, just because that stubborn streak that drives you crazy.
There's a
plus side to it. You know what, Phil was the most compliant, wonderful, fun little kid. He was the best baby since Moses and the baby Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Moses, the baby Jesus, and Phil Gunger. And Phil might have beat him up both. I'm not sure. But I mean, you would just look at him and he would comply. It was, you know what my wife used to do? She says, watch. And she'd just hold him and smile. And he'd just start giggling. And then Debbie would go, ooh. And the kid would start crying.
She'd
keep doing that on and on. I said, stop that. You're going to traumatize the kid. She says, isn't that funny? You know, because I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Leslie, putting her to bed at night was like, you know, removing a cyst off your foot. It was painful and difficult and complicated. You know, Phil, when he came along, we'd say, okay, good night. Okay, good night. He'd lay down. And Leslie, don't turn off the light. You know, so I turn off the light and I start to leave. And he'd say, close the door. And I'm going, really? And I close the door. Light off.
That was
door
it.
Closed. That was it. He just went to bed. Leslie, till 4 in the morning, still banging on. I want some water. I mean, just unbelievable tormenting. All right. But then as a teenager, this wonderful, compliant, malleable, bendable kid that everybody just celebrates is still malleable and bendable now, getting around the wrong people.
That's right.
So, I mean, there's negatives and positives in all this. This, the fact that your kid is a little Mussolini, okay, is driving you crazy. I'm just telling you, as a man who has done this and lived this, this can be a very positive thing for you. And she's doing the right thing. Quit listening to your psycho crazy friends. They don't have a kid like you.
Okay? I have great kids, and all the while I've been raising them, I have had more criticism for what I do or what I don't do from my family and people around me, and I've just had to choose not to listen to it. And y'all know I have great kids. I have three of them who are great.
And they're fabulous.
And I did something different with all three of them. There was not one size fits all, but I didn't listen to what other people said.
You don't listen. Just adapt to what works best for you and using wisdom and stuff like it. So obviously you have a kid. It takes a few more times. Okay, so what?
Yeah, you could break the kid's spirit.
As long as he eventually learns. God doesn't do that to us.
No.
God demands first time.
God,
really?
God doesn't do that.
Well, he does, but does he beat the crap out of you the first time you don't do something? No. That hasn't been my experience. Look how patient he was with Israel and all the people, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, there's times where someone did something and got struck. Yeah, you see that picture too in the Old Testament. Kind of hard to reconcile it all. But by and large, God is an extremely patient person. Yeah. All right. So just, you know, and I will say this. My daughter, if you have a kid who's disobeying and rebellion, what do most people tell you? Most Christians, fundamentalist Christians, what would they tell you to do?
Beat it out of them.
Yeah, spank them. Mm-hmm. Because most kids, that's all it takes. Mm-hmm. My daughter.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
You could literally, I'm not exaggerating.
You could have just beaten her bloody.
I think you could beat her to death. Jude. In fact, I'll never forget, as long as I live, I remember, I was just getting over this because I was in a very fundamentalist, very conservative religious environment, and that's what they kept telling us to do.
Just hit her harder.
And we used to just
hit
beat the crap. I'm not kidding you. I never say this to anybody.
Now you're airing it
but
for everyone.
At 57 years of age, I still feel guilty.
I'm sure you do.
For the times that I spanked my little girl who was a year old and 2 years old. And finally we snapped out
of it. And why? Because someone was
telling
you. Because
some jackass was telling us to do it.
Stupid.
All right? Because you're and, you know, we finally stopped. And I don't know, maybe that's what she's doing.
Is that why she beats me?
Maybe that's why she beats you.
Coming out on you.
I still feel bad about it.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
I still feel bad about it. Because it didn't work. Mm-hmm. I'm telling. So anyway, we had stopped this, okay? Mm-hmm. And a year or two later, I'm listening to NPR, and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
I
don't think radio.
Which is, I hate that thing. But anyway, so they are telling a story about this couple who had been arrested, part of a very religious conservative group, who literally beat
their kid
to death.
Because you kept ratcheting it up, and because if it didn't work, then you hit longer, you hit harder.
You talk about the cold wind that blows through your soul when you hear a story like that, you think, good Lord, that could have been me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So don't listen to these morons. Yeah. Apparently, for them, it does work. I'm telling you, we had two kids, day and night. With Phil, I don't ever remember spanking him.
Because you didn't need to.
But I didn't need
to. He responded
to just
looks.
And it's not because I was overreacting to the Leslie situation.
No.
I'm just saying it was like bizarre. Yeah. It was like you got the one kid, you can't do anything. He's so stubborn. And then you got this other kid who's just, you look at him and he'd stop. And you're like, really?
All you had to do was give him the eye.
And maybe when he's still in diapers, you could just, you know, swat his rear end. And I mean, he'd stop and he'd never do it again as long as he lived.
Right.
Well, yeah, I could have been a sanctimonious person in your life saying, you just need to spank your kid because it works for them. It's not that your friends are evil. It's just that works for them. They got a Phil. They can look at him. He'll stop instantly. You got a Leslie. All right? It doesn't work. That means you're going to be more patient. You're going to have to bend more. You're going to have to keep coming back and dealing with issues over and over. But there's a positive side to this.
Yeah.
Get your values in that kid, and they'll change the world. They're just there's no way they can be talked into doing something destructive. Okay. The wonderful little malleable kids, when they become teenagers, you get them in the wrong ground. That's exactly what they do because they've always just listened to everybody.
Yep.
Which is great when you're the only influence in their life.
It's not good for the rest of their life, though.
So there's pros and cons to all of it. So you have this little, any of you out there with extremely strong-willed children, just relax, okay? And if you got people telling you you're not beating your kid enough or not, just get away from them. Mm-hmm. Just get some new friends. Just don't, it's not worth it.
No.
Each kid is different. Yep. Now, having said that, are there parents out there who don't know how to discipline their kids and all their kids are hellions? Yes. You got the other extreme, too. Yep. But you people, you know who I'm talking to. Yep. You are not permissive parents that let your kids do anything, but yet you got kids who are very difficult problems. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It means you're going to have to work at it harder. You're going to have to be more patient. You're going to be stretched more. It's fine. There's a positive side to this.
Yep.
Get your values in them, because as intense as they are to you and self, when you get your values in them and your faith in them, now they become young adults, nobody can talk them out of it.
Yep.
Because they're wired that way. Thank God for that.
Yep.
So anyway, so just relax, enjoy your child, quit listening to these people.
And while she's guessing at what she thinks he is on the flag page, I would highly recommend that you get that kid's flag page and you do it. And the book that Tim Kimmel helped write for that is an amazing book, and especially the whole section he has in there about strong-willed children. And I think that will help you a lot. Just exactly what you're saying. exactly what you're saying is what he says in that book. It's a great book. All of Tim Kimmel's parenting stuff, if people are looking for it. I've read several of his things. It's really good.
Do you know he's coming to Celebration Church?
I heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, May 12th, 11th, 12th, we're doing a parenting conference.
Yeah, his stuff is really good. And what he wrote in that book for us or the flag page about how to deal with your strong-willed kid is just absolutely amazing stuff for parents.
Oh, fabulous.
I would highly recommend that you get that.
So, anyway, just relax, okay? They're not all the same. You can have one. Now, she already described she got five mm-hmm. different ones. Mm-hmm. She thinks it's because they're adopted. Could be, but you could have it with your own kid.
Yep.
They're all different. Okay? Yep. So one size does not fit all. All right, let's take our final break and be back right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage.
Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there, because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have another ace up right. my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Do you enjoy enhancing your environment with the fragrant scent of candles? Try Scentsy Candles. Scentsy Wickless Candles are flame-free, smoke-free, and lead-free. Scentsy Wickless Candles are stronger, longer-lasting, and most important, safer for you, your family, and pets. The exclusive Scentsy Wax Bar is melted on one of our decorative warmers by a low-watt light bulb, releasing our powerful and long-lasting fragrance into your home, office, or dorm room. With over 40 decorative candle warmers, 20 plugins, and 80 different scents to buy, we have something for everyone. Shop online at www.thekellers.scentsy.ca. That's www.thekellers.scentsy.ca. And have products shipped to your door today.
Isn't she beautiful? It's the Maya Skorzewski song.
Such a happy girl. She really
she is.
She is.
I can't believe what God has done.
I have yet, even just in the 13 months with her, I have yet to really see anything other than happiness with her.
She's just happy.
Way that she's a good baby, does like. Yeah. And Leslie, happy she girl. Was a nightmare as a baby.
Not a happy girl.
Just not a happy baby. And would scream. You couldn't, you know, the one thing we know about Phil is he cried like a normal baby would. Mm-hmm. Listen to him. He cries. Leslie never, she screamed bloody murder. And she would scream the same if her arm was broken or if a fly landed on her foot. There was no difference. You couldn't tell. And I'm telling you, young parents were like traumatized by this kid.
Oh. Especially at number one.
Yeah, oh, when your first one is like that.
And then you have a normal one. You go, I remember saying, listen to him. He just cries.
He doesn't scream.
Oh, it's so wonderful. Yeah, I mean, and there was levels of emotion with Leslie. It was on or off, which is probably still true to this day. You know? Again, positive parts of that.
Yep. Yeah.
But you just got to just...
Now, you said something that was pretty interesting, though. And during the break, I was asking you, what part of the movement that you were with. But as a person of faith, if you really lay into your children and on a strong, heavy disciplinarian side, do you think that really potentially sways your impact of, raising your children in the way that they should go so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it?
I think so. I know people.
They absolutely want to get away from it.
I know people like that when the kids get older, they don't serve God.
Yeah.
Really strict parents. I know one couple that was in that environment. They had like three or four kids. I can't remember. The first two raised in that environment to this day do not serve God.
Mm-hmm. But all under the idea, if you do this right, you're doing this right, and they will become passionate followers of Christ.
That's what we're told.
Yes.
That's what...
Beat the hell out of them, and then they'll really grow up and really start, you know. So they don't... And the younger ones, by the time you can become more relaxed and stuff, these guys are passionate for Jesus.
But they got the snot beat out of them.
See, that's why I don't like this first... I know what they're trying to say by first obedience, and ideally... My concern is not that you ask for that, is what's the response to it?
Yeah.
If you start beating them and you're just making life hell for them because you demand this first... Look, some of us have kids that they just never responded the first time. You know, there's so much in it. You know, one of my favorite parables Jesus told, which I think is very enlightening, is he said a father came to his two sons. He says to the first son, "Son, go today work in my vineyard." Mm-hmm. The son basically told him to stick it. Now, if you're a first obedience responder parent,
beat the crap out of them.
There'd be hell to pay for that.
Yep,
okay?
Yep.
The second one, he comes to the kid and says, "Go work today in my vineyard." And he says, "Absolutely, Dad, I'd love to do it." And he's the obedient son. But then he didn't go.
Yeah.
But the first one repented and went.
Yeah.
And Jesus asked the question, which one did the will of the Father? Now, stop and think. This was a trick question. They had to actually think about it.
Right.
Because that's the way we are. Oftentimes, we are more concerned about how we feel in response and how our kids feel in response to
us. Or how it looks to other people.
And how it looks to other people. And it's like, nope, God doesn't care about that. The bottom line is, that's what I'm telling parents. You know, I said from our church, I was preaching, I said, don't react to the attitude of your kids. Other parents, they go crazy.
Right.
Well, he rolled his eyes. Well, so what?
Mm-hmm.
Be the adult. Well, I don't want to roll. So all, as long as he does that, that's all that matters. The kids say, "Oh, I don't want to do it. I hate to. My eyes roll." Don't react to any of that. The only thing you react to is, do they do it or don't do it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't believe that, Pastor. I think their attitude, yeah, okay, you'll probably have a psycho kid.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, get away from you and go live like hell and screw all kinds of women and men and don't want anything to do with Jesus. Is that what you want? Well, no, I don't think it's going to happen to my kid. Yeah, well, lots of luck with that. I'm just saying, isn't it interesting that Jesus told the parable? One kid responded, great.
Yep. Made it look real good on the outside.
But didn't do it.
Nope.
The other kid had a rotten attitude, and he did it. Which one was the right kid? The one who did it. Be more worried about what they do and less caught, especially as teenagers. Now, you start chasing attitude. Now, I'm not talking disrespect. If they're disrespectful, now there's hell to pay.
Because there's a line. I mean, I've had to say that to my kids. Stop. That's being disrespectful to me. You can't. And they, I'm sorry. And they know. Because so many of their friends are real flippant in what you see on TV with kids. And some of that I just do not go for. And they have great sense of humor.
But that's disrespect. I'm talking about attitude. You're just talking about the attitude they float around with and this and that. They don't want to do it. They complain about it. Who cares? Just ignore it.
It does.
If anything, you want to teach the kid. You know what? It's a good lesson for you.
Because
you need to learn to do stuff even when you feel terrible. Because someday you're going to work for some boss who thinks he's a complete moron. You know that
you got to
do a radio show with him.
Someday you'll have to work for Mark Gunger.
And someday you work for Mark Gunger and you'll want to kill him, but you don't do it because you just do what you got to do. Because at the end of the day, what matters? We are measured by what we do. All right, see you guys.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.